Welcome to Listen by Jean Ginsberg. This audio experience and podcast is all about social media, digital marketing, entrepreneurship, and interviews with top entrepreneurs in the digital and social space. I'm your host, Jean Ginsberg, digital marketing expert, number one best-selling author, and award-winning entrepreneur. I will be sharing with you strategies, tips, and tactics on how to grow your business and your social media following. Thanks for listening. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I'm super excited. I have a YPOer here with me, Randy Jeter. We met through the Young Entrepreneurs Organization. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
I am very excited for you to be here and to talk about, we had a little pre-call before, so we kind of just discussed the strategy and what we're going to be talking about. So I'm excited to talk about that. But then also, you know, anything else related to technology and AI, we love talking about that here. But first, before we get into all of the fun stuff, let's talk a little bit about your background, just so that we can give some context to our audiences about, you know, what you've been up to before and how you arrived here.
Yeah, so a little bit of background. Kind of grew up in the network side of it. Early 2000s, pivoted into doing some projects on the consulting side for IT services for PwC through a company that they acquired called Alaris Consulting in the shared spend project space. And then decided I was going to be crazy and build a cloud computing company and built a global cloud computing company called RapidScale and sold that to the third largest cable company in Cox Communications and ran that strategy at Cox. Managed services, compute, storage, platforms throughout the US and then with a couple globally. And, you know, since then have been advising some of the biggest equity companies in the space with regards to both security, compliance, you know, and potential acquisitions in what's called the sourcing or procurement space of IT. So. A lot, and there's probably been, and a lot of this has been also around AI, the developments of AI, also how to, you know, manage AI implementations and look at what code's tied to that and where the data is being stored and what that looks like. Had an interesting conversation this last weekend about that specifically, but, you know, just embedding myself in all facets and have always been in all facets of technology and the evolution of technology and really how it provides value to customers, consumers, and everything else.
Oh, there's the light.
Holy smoke. What happens?
Like, nobody's in here. I need to move around. Otherwise,
I better move around and put my hands up, huh?
So yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a great intro in terms of your background. So now you're more involved in the advising and kind of investing piece of companies. Is that right?
Yeah, so I started a company called Procure IT. We lost out on a $180 million acquisition with one of the biggest capital investment companies. We tried to buy and do a roll-up in the space of IT procurement. And I was a former investment company behind CDW. And so, you know, we didn't get some acquisitions done. So just started buying companies, rolling them together. And we started Procure IT, so procureit.com. And it's IT procurement and, you know, basically building a model of managed procurement for IT services, software, advanced application reporting, combined with real world support and implementation of that too as well. And so that's what we do today. I'm really happy about the direction we're going in. We've acquired a couple of companies. We have a couple of companies being added and some of the other individuals being added. And we're going down the right direction and I'm pretty excited about the future.
Yes, that does sound very exciting. What are some of the challenges that you're with the clients that you're working with that you're solving for them? Because that's always very interesting to hear about, like, is it AI, is it tech, or what are their challenges that you're helping them with?
From global enterprise companies all the way down to small mid-market companies, they want to know if the price point that they're paying makes business sense. So everybody knows, I mean, listen, I was one of the largest companies in the US in Cox Communications. Different buying power. So am I buying at the right price? You know, there's tools out there today that can pinpoint pricing on different product sets, services, solutions. Data sets are being developed into stories to be able to tell that. Terms and conditions are being, you know, put in place. So it's really optimizing IT purchasing, optimizing IT performance and getting inside networks to understand if they're performing as expected or if it's a provider issue. Or an in-house delivery issue. And then one of the biggest components is risk. And so, you know, when you're trying to build this, you know, IT business agility framework, which is what global IT companies are focused on, you know, what's a small mid-market do? You know, what small enterprise do? They're usually hamstrung by talent. So you're going to find more of an implementation of this broker slash partner delivering a IT procurement model that's going to be data-driven. And that's what we're driving towards, data-driven IT decisions, and not only on the sourcing side, but ongoing basis.
Right, absolutely. And share some of your most recent wins. I think our audience would love to hear kind of what you're working on and what are some of the projects and wins that you've had recently.
Yeah, from small banks, regional banks looking to secure inbound and outbound email to network performance and edge to figuring out where there's potential gaps in their security stack. I mean, today's security stacks are becoming much more prevalent. AI capabilities are really starting to infiltrate the security market, both on both sides, you know, from an attack side and then from a protection side. Compliance, you know, what's the compliance stack? How do they manage compliance? And so companies like Stream Realty out of Dallas, I'm in Dallas right now, meeting with a company we built or we bought. And one of our clients, the largest, you know, one of the larger realty companies here. And, you know, they have a lot of needs to protect their business. They have thousands of employees now. So, you know, if they scale, then they become bigger. They're looking for companies like us to help them figure out what type of app stacks for security, for compliance, for service providers, for unified communication, CCAS, contact center, you know, cloud, DR, disaster recovery as a service. What does that look like? Are they doing it right? Aren't they doing it right? So we start to get inside of what they're doing. We analyze it, not only on the billing, but performance side and risk side, and start to map in a strategy that makes sense to them. So to them, sitting down with their CTO, their chief, you know, risk officer, you know, we can start to map a strategy out. And that's what that's one of the projects I'm here doing right now. And then, you know, I just left another place where we're working with a bank and they were looking for the same thing. And so everybody's trying to figure out, am I doing what makes business sense today? Or how can you help me provide the data or help get me the data to make that informed decision? And what do you know that I don't know? And when we do thousands of projects a year, we gather additional data. And as we gather that additional data and we provide it to them, they realize the deliverables that we provide them are worth their engagement with us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure anything related to cybersecurity or disaster recovery, I mean, that's huge when it, you know, you could be like completely hamstrung if you're a banker or business and something like that happens. So it sounds like your services are very valuable. Yeah, let's talk about AI. That's a big topic now. So how does AI fit into all of the topics that we just discussed, you know, slice of cybersecurity, disaster recovery, data? How is that all infiltrating all of those points?
So, you know, one of the guys that I probably respect the most, he built Google Voice, and he rolled out into a company called Dialpad. And Dialpad is a market leader in really AI and the use of generative AI to actually help advance, you know, systems. So when you think about data, how do you build the data sets? It's not just the data going through your computer or going through an app. It's also use of voice data. And so when I'm talking to somebody, all of that's being scripted. And so as that's being scripted, I can tie to the AI, I can tie AI to those scripts, gather the data and take my phone conversation and build automated emails, build automated engagements, use that data into other sources to help drive better results, better engagement, client satisfaction, support, faster turnaround. And so what you're seeing is the voice side of it, the unified communications and contact centers of service being kind of driving towards this model of, you know, the workforce automation, application automation, user experience. It's been going down this direction a lot, but AI is so crucial to that. It also plays into security and compliance. One of the companies I invested in called Cybrex was rolled out of DARPA. And so, you know, not only am I involved in that, we distribute that as a provider of that, not a provider, but a supplier, broker of that. But it's called SilverSky now. They rolled out a BAE and now it's you're using a ton of AI. And so as you look at these software systems, you're either trying to protect, or you're using it to add value. It's not so much taking over employee jobs right now as it's either protect, adding more value for better experiences. But the power of AI is beyond what people can imagine, but the actual data storage and everything else required to utilize it right is really actually probably more than what most people think. So there's going to be this hit of spend to use it and versus, you know, applicable use of it and you know, people willing to spend for that. So we're in the early phase of adoption. We're in the early phase of the story of AI. I think what excites me the most is the use and the application of the use can protect businesses. HR and legal teams are eating it up. Law firms are eating it up. Going back to conversations, hit points on that, being able to pull scripts. What most people don't realize on a voice script, you can't, you know, legally go after a voice call from state to state, but you can go after the voice script. And so a lot of HR teams are using the voice script to actually protect the businesses, you know, and that's something most people don't know. But most of these voice scripts, it's actually documented, is now something that legally they can't go after. And so the biggest companies in the world are using these tools to protect their businesses as well. And so it's interesting because I don't think a lot of people realize they're being recorded all the time in the business world, but on all these Zoom calls and on every facet of technology calls now, they really are. And so is that good? It's great for the business. Can it be used to provide better performance? Yes, but it's also used as a risk factor because it could be used against a company as well. And so I think that's all being figured out. What I like about AI is it makes companies better, makes performance better. At the same time, it creates a risk. And so you need to create a scorecard or a strategy to protect against that within an organization as well. And, you know, I think that's one of the coolest things that I'm seeing coming out now is, you know, how do states protect the people in the state using AI and analytics of AI on what people are doing with AI platforms. An example, the former chancellor of FAU, Florida Atlantic University, I was sitting with him this last weekend in Big Sky. We were talking about this as he launches, as a chairman of a new company, an AI analytics engine and software platform that does analytics on AI companies. And they do it for, hold on, they do it for states, and they're going to keep doing it. And some of the biggest states in the U.S. are coming after and saying, we need to protect the people of our state differently. And we believe we need to have some type of AI analytics platform or software that actually sees what companies are doing. And so it's cool because you see it from all angles, protection from the state level and the government level. You see it down to the use of it for application performance, and you see it for risk performance. And you see it for employee performance. So it's really cool the way that it is actually applicable in so many different areas. Most people don't know what it really is, but it's accumulation of data to make more informed decisions or to actually make the decisions.
Right. Yeah. It's not just the data, but the taking the data with AI and making it into something like a decision-making process, right? So it's not, that's the one thing I think we, as businesses, we all have been having trouble with, is that it's just like the data is so overwhelming and we don't know how to like organize it and like put it into something that even like makes coherent sense. And someone who comes from, you know, digital marketing background and who reviews, you know, Facebook ad data on a regular basis, it's like, how do you review it? And, you know, a human can't, there's so much data, a human can't like wrap their head around it. So having AI is absolutely super helpful. I think that's probably, yeah, the first iteration is like, is just data analysis and data decision-making based on that. So one of the things you mentioned, you know, right now AI is not taking over, you know, employees' jobs, but what do you think is the future? What's the future looking? I mean, right now it's not taking over jobs, but is that a possibility? Or what do you think the future of AI is in general?
I think in some facets, you're going to build software that will overtake certain roles that are, I never think you're going to replicate the human emotion, the human interaction. And I think as a country and as states, we'll protect against that because we don't want it to be so smart that it does everything and eliminates mankind. That's not what it's meant. It's not what it's being built for. And I think we need to protect against bad actors there. But, you know, if I really look at this if done right, while you might lose a small subset of employment, look at the employment rates right now. They're through the roof. They've gone down so much that, you know, how do you take average employees and make them better? How do you take, you know, good leaders and make them better? How do you take good companies and make them great? And that's where AI comes in. And I think if we're scared of it, we're going the wrong way. If we actually embrace it as a country and we embrace it globally, I think it's going to do so many things for the world beyond what we can hear that I think it's just something so powerful that we have to embrace, but we have to protect against. So the best answer I give people on that front is it will take some jobs, but with the population growth and with more needs for delivery of food and everything else globally, jobs and so forth, And I don't ever think it's going to butt heads because there's just such a need right now globally on demand as we grow and we become a more intelligent and more questionable / analytical, you know, global economy. We need tools like this to help us, you know, fine tune these decisions and everything else.
Yeah, and fine tune the solutions, right? I mean, that's yeah. The big one. I think there's so many problems that I feel like AI can definitely help us solve a lot of those. I also think that I don't think it's going to be like job elimination. I think there's going to be a lot of changes in jobs, right? Like when the farming jobs were eliminated, right? It's not like people all went unemployed and have been unemployed for 100 years, right? They just took different jobs that, you know, in the way technology evolved, right? There became more technological jobs, or people went to the city, or more professional services jobs, right, that maybe didn't exist 100 or 150 years ago. So I think it's going to be kind of the same here. I don't think it's like complete job elimination or like people are going to be unemployed, but more just like different types of jobs that we're going to have to get trained on. And I think upskilling is going to be the next big thing, right? It's, well, it always is, right? But like, I think that's a big one, especially for AI, is that we're just going to have to improve our skills, and the workforce will have to improve the skills and maybe take some training courses. So I don't know. I've talked to some people on this podcast and they were like, well, we're just going to, you know, live a life without jobs. And I'm like, well, what about purpose? Like, I don't think that's ever going to, we're going to find some ways to keep ourselves busy, you know? I don't think we're going to be like universal basic income and then no one's going to like have any jobs. I don't know if I think our direct is going in that direction. I don't know. And so.
No, I don't see where it can go in that direction. I don't think anybody wants it to go in that direction. Data's great, but you still have to make human decisions and empathetic, vulnerable, engaging decisions. You know, I'm seeing a different work environment now than I have in the last 3 years. People want to meet again. People want to engage again. People want to talk again. And so AI and software tools and other tools, they're not going to be able to do that. They're not going to have that capability. You might be able to portray that through movies and stuff and some of the storytelling that AI is going to do. But you're not going to be able to do that on a real engaged process and model. You're going to bring that data in to speak to, but you're not going to use that data as the decision-making data standalone. And I think that's probably the one thing that people might not recognize today because they're concerned from it. They're concerned with it. But I think if you eliminate the concern and you embrace the value, you're going to find a better global economy, a more protected global economy as well. And I don't think it's easy because there are a lot of bad actors, but I think if you do it right and it's used right, it will very much protect mankind versus hurt mankind.
I agree. I think a lot of people kind of go down this dystopian rabbit hole of like, we're all going to, you know, like the Matrix. I think that's probably far-fetched. I think it's always land somewhere in the middle, right? I don't think it's going to be
like,
we're gonna have no jobs and it's gonna be like paradise, or we're gonna be taken over by the Matrix, you know. Probably somewhere
in I saw this article the other day, it's like electricity. So you have electricity, you have the internet, and now you have AI. And when you look at these things, you say, yeah, they're major changing points. Without internet, what did it look like? Without electricity, what did it look like? Without AI, what did it look like? I think AI is just better decision making. I don't think it's taking over roles, jobs, and eliminating people. And I think the majority of people that I'm around that are some of the top minds in the world in the tech space, they would say that same thing.
Yeah, I agree. A lot to consider here, but I am always very excited about this topic and kind of where does this go? You know, we're going to talk in a year and things are going to be probably radically different. So and we're going to see where it all lands in a year or in 2 years or five. So last question is, how can audiences get in touch with you or your company or learn more?
Yeah, Randy Jeter at ProcureIT.com, ProcureIT.com. ProcureIT.com website, connect with us. We do great work and, you know, would love to connect with clients that listen to the podcast. Anything IT procurement related, analytics, data-driven decision related for IT, it's what we do. We're great at it. And, you know, looking forward to speaking to any clients that might find interest in listening to the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was great. Really appreciate your insights. We're going to talk about this in a year and see where this all lands.
I appreciate it, Gene.